Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 42. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas, dude, but I got to get to the number 42s. Andy Sutton. I knew that would make you laugh. Tom Pricing.
Okay.
Sean Donovan. Yeah. A couple of other assorted players, but, you know, those are the highlights.
Three of those guys not in the league anymore.
No, Tom Pricing's still playing.
In the AHL.
Well, yeah.
Sent him down.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, oops.
Oops is right. Enjoy the money.
But as you said, Vegas. We went to Vegas last weekend.
We sure did, dude.
And we bet lots of hockey games.
We sure did.
And we got absolutely crushed.
We didn't do too good.
No, we did not. So note to listeners out there, all of you, public service announcement coming. Do not travel to Vegas the last weekend of the hockey season and bet hockey games.
It was like bizarro world of the NHL. It was opposite day on Saturday.
Sharks, Wings, Capitals, Bruins all lose.
Right. We did not bet on the Sharks.
Didn't bet on the Sharks. You don't mix money and emotion.
No.
But we
Friday
got,
night, we got, Friday
worked.
Friday night.
Worked.
Okay. Well, we got the Blues game correct. All right. We got the over correct on the Edmonton Calgary game, which ended up at the last minute to be 6, and it was a combined total of 5. But boy, we got killed. Nashville lost to Minnesota.
Yeah. Minnesota puts up 8 goals the only time the whole season. So where did that come from? I have
never,
no idea.
Ever would have thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Never.
So all
what was the other one
things?
Too? There was one other one. Oh, and
the Bruins?
No, we had the Ducks to win by 2 and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It was
over Phoenix and they couldn't do it.
I hate them.
Yeah. So you know, it wasn't a very good weekend for us in terms of that, but it was, you know, you always have a good time in Vegas.
Can we talk about the most dramatic game though?
Okay.
Can we talk about that Boston-Buffalo game?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Okay, we took the under on this game, and it was 5.5. Now, those people who are not total degenerates like us and betting on hockey, the in Vegas, make that clear.
Right.
That 5.5 under means that a combined total goals for the game needs to be under 5.5. So under 6, basically, and you win.
Right.
So if you watched that game, you'd notice that Buffalo was up 5-0 in the second period.
In the first period, weren't they?
No, it was at the beginning of the second. They
That's
made it
right.
5-0. And then that game proceeded to go about 30 scoreless minutes. And I thought maybe we were going to win that bet.
But
we lost the bet.
Yeah, Boston had scored on the power play with about 7 minutes left in the game. Totally meaningless goal. Not for us, of course. Not meaningless for us. But that's how it goes.
Upsetting. But yes. Vegas, good times. Bellagio good Buffet, time. Thumbs up.
Yep. Steve Wynn Steakhouse, thumbs up.
2 thumbs up.
Absolutely. Another shout out I got to give a shout out to the Robber Barons. Robber Barons won the Dudes on Hockey Fantasy League. So,
yes, they did.
My hat is off to you, which means I have to pay up at the Sharks game tomorrow night.
Yeah.
One thing Ducks, we didn't know this last week. Last podcast, we didn't know it's the Ducks. So,
no.
I'm, you know, not happy about it because I think that's a really pretty crappy draw for the Sharks. The
of
President's
the three,
Cup
it's,
winner.
It's the hardest draw of the three that it could have been. But like we've talked about before and we talked a little bit about it on the radio show on Sunday that we were both on. I know we'll talk about it a little bit later.
Which you can get on the Dudes on Hockey website. So you get it part of the RSS feed, the normal feed. If you haven't listened to it already, go back and listen to it. It's good times.
In order to get to the Cup, you got to beat the best. And if we have to go through a path that could line up being the Ducks, Calgary or Chicago and Detroit,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be extremely satisfying when we finish the three of them off.
That's true. It would also be very satisfying to beat the three worst teams and still win the Cup. So,
agreed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put a positive spin on this, dude.
Understood.
This is going to be... This is the best series maybe besides Pittsburgh Philly as far as emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But the tank is going to be on fire tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because we truly hate the Ducks.
With a passion.
We hate them.
Yes.
And this will be the most emotional game, maybe, I mean, definitely of the year. And yeah, maybe you can't say more than game seven last year, but it's a close second, dude.
It's going to be great. And the other good thing is that these are the kinds of things that stoke rivalries going forward. There's certainly going to be animosity regardless of what happens between these two teams next year, the year after, and so forth. I mean, this is the Battle of California will, you know, go to another level here.
Absolutely. And we're going to have a special guest on later to talk a little bit more about it, right?
That's right. We have Adam Brady, who actually works in the Ducks organization. He is the Director of Publication and New Media for the Ducks. So, crazy title. He's going to explain it later. You'll hear that interview in just a couple minutes. But we do want to get to the emails because people are continuing to email us. That means there are some people listening, which is always good.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We're going to go to Scott in San Jose. And he says he's excited he gets to play in the Ducks in the first round, even though he does worry about the toll the series will take on the guys. But when we win the cup, no one will be able to say we coasted into the championship.
Agreed.
Very true. But his questions are, one, who do you predict will be the hero of the series for the Sharks? Two, who do you think tailed off at the end of the season that you think needs to rebound for us to have success? And three, who do you think is an underrated player whom you expect to see step to the forefront in the playoffs? So, dude, you want to... Any order you want, any ones you want?
Oh, geez. I'm going to say for the person who's going to maybe be the hero, is that the first question?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This guy owns the Ducks. I'm going to say Chichu's going to step up and be the man, dude.
That's sweet. I think so. And he might be number two as well. He might be the guy that maybe was a little under the radar, a little disappointing throughout the season, didn't score a lot. Maybe he could be both of those things. He could be the hero and the guy who rebounds and becomes a key player against the Ducks. He is a Duck killer.
He is slay away, Chichu. What about number three?
Who do you think is the underrated player who's going to step to the forefront? Let's see. Well, I think that, you know, the Ducks' power play has been on fire this year. I think an underrated guy that, you know, certainly we know who he is. We know he's good. Might be a guy like Travis Moen or maybe Mike Greer. Those penalty killers might be, that battle of special teams could be a very key turning point in the series. If the Sharks' kill continues to be not very good, then at least they weren't in the last couple weeks of the season, Ducks could gain the upper hand, and likewise the other way. So that's going to be, I think, that third line, those penalty killers, that's going to be a key component of the series.
I hate to be boring, but I got to agree. I was going to say Travis Moen. He was huge for the Ducks on their cup run. He got number one star a couple times, actually, I believe. And mm-hmm. I think this guy knows how to play big in big games, and we're going to see it in this series. You know, he even said in an interview the other day that he doesn't feel uncomfortable playing against the Ducks anymore. He's played them three times. So it's not like he's going to feel weird going out there and scoring a big goal against them. I think we should look for Travis Moen to really step up in this round.
I think so. He's one of those guys who can step into any role the Sharks need him to fulfill, and I'm sure he's going to be a gamer in the playoffs. It's going to be great to see him perform. Got another email, dude?
Yeah, we do. We have an email from Samantha. Thank you, Samantha. Samantha wants to talk about an article that was in the Hockey News where they talk about expanding the playoffs to 20 teams instead of 16. The article kind of in a brief summary talks about how when the original 21 were out there, there were 16 teams, and now with 30 teams, there's still only 16 playoff teams. So, dude, what do you make of this concept of maybe adding four more spots, almost like a play-in game? It would actually probably involve the 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds. So in this case, in the Western Conference, it would mean that we would have an extra round. Now, they're just talking about one play-in game in this article. Mm. So that would mean that the 7 seed Columbus would play the 10 Minnesota, and then Anaheim would play Nashville. Or actually, I think I got that backwards. Anaheim would play the Wild. Nashville would play Columbus for the right to play the 1 and 2 seed.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I kind of like the playoffs the way they are. The playoffs kind of go on long enough for me, to be honest. I love playoff atmosphere. I love playoff hockey. This part of the year, if you're a hockey fan, this is the best time of the year because it's the first round. There's multiple games on every night. Every game means something. Every game is against very good teams. This is a great time of year. I can understand why people would want to expand the playoffs. But to me, you know, half the league getting in is enough. That's just my perspective. Half the league getting into the playoffs is enough. I know a lot of people like to make fun of the NHL and they say that the regular season is irrelevant. I know the same cracks are made against basketball because so many teams get into the playoffs. And I don't want to see the playoff picture watered down further because I love the intensity of these games. And if you extend the season another week or another 2 weeks, if you do a series...
It's already going into mid-June.
Yeah, we're talking the Stanley Cup Finals this year in June. So, you know, a warm weather climates, it could be a little strange to see teams in Florida and so forth, you know, wearing shorts on the ice.
Dude, unless you have an illness, like we do, a hockey illness,
right?
We do have a problem when we admit it. Would you really be excited about watching a play-in game between the Canadiens and the Panthers?
Not really, no.
No. The teams that didn't make it, Florida, Buffalo, Minnesota, and Nashville, none of those teams I could point at and go, God, they got a raw deal.
Mm-hmm.
They should have... This isn't the same as the college football situation where... You know, there are teams that you could say need to legitimately be considered to play for the national title. And you do a play-in game like that, you know, Buffalo has a good night. They knock a team out like the Rangers that really should be there.
Right.
I don't think that that's...
Adds another element of randomness into it. And you're certainly going to be talking about teams in those seeds that are going to be around 500 and in several cases under 500. Do you really want... I mean, if you want to make the playoffs... Win more than you lose.
There you go. Win games. Yeah, how about that, Meat?
Win some games, eh?
Yeah.
But it's a good question, and it's an interesting idea, Samantha. Thanks for sending in the question.
Thanks, Samantha.
I also want to get to our last email, which is from Ian. Ian, it's great to hear from you finally.
Ian has come out of the Canadian wilderness to email us.
I'm glad, because I was a little worried he disappeared. We said something to offend him. I don't know what. So many different things we could have said. But he's back. And he apologizes for being so quiet. Ian actually did fairly well in the fantasy, so
he did
good for him. And he was talking about his picks for the playoffs in all the series. So he picked. I'm just going to run down his really quick. And actually, we're going to talk about ours later in the show after the interview. He's picking the Sharks, the Jackets, the Blackhawks, and the Canucks in the West. And then he's picking the Habs, the Capitals, the Devils, and the Pens in the East. So.
He took the Habs?
He took the Habs.
Interesting.
Over, yeah, that's a bold pick. He says he just hates the Bruins. He can't pick them.
Okay.
So I appreciate that. But you will certainly hear our picks later on in the show, and we'll try to back them up a little bit. We also mentioned them in the radio show that Doug mentioned earlier, so you can also catch that and maybe a little bit more random comments about that in our RSS feed, in our podcast feed. So make sure to check that out. But now we're going to get to the interview, which is, like I said, Adam Brady. He's a member... works for the Anaheim Ducks, so there's a certain amount of credibility there, or lack thereof, if you'd like to call it that.
Hey now!
But Adam Brady was really nice to talk to us, and I think he had some really interesting things to say, so check it out. All right, here we are. We're joined by Adam Brady, who is the Director of Publications and New Media for the Anaheim Ducks organization. Adam, welcome to Dudes on Hockey.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, I was just wondering if you could give us a little quick background on your role with the Ducks organization, your hockey background, and so forth. I got to say, I'm not that familiar with your title. It sounds pretty cool, but I'm not really sure exactly what it means.
Well, it's a long title, but makes me almost sound important. But basically, I've been with the Ducks since coming out of the lockout, actually, around September of 05, and What publications is I'm in charge of all the, you know, game programs for the Ducks and other publications, yearbooks and stuff like that that we do around here. And then the new media side is obviously being in charge of our team website and some other websites that we do. And as you guys probably know, or the reason you had me come on, is one of the big parts of working with the website is the blog I do on a pretty much daily basis during the season.
So is that a lot of your day-to-day work is following the team around, watching the games, blog, and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's a lot of the day-to-day work is obviously keeping up with the team, updating the website, writing, you know, 800 to 1,000 or, gosh, a lot more today, words in the blog each day. And so, yeah, it takes up some time, but it's all good stuff.
We got to say that when the playoffs kind of took shape on Sunday, we were not too excited to see the Anaheim Ducks be the Sharks' draw for many reasons. But one of the things is that we've noticed, is, and I didn't think it would be possible, is that it appears the Ducks' blue line might actually be stronger this year than the year they made the cup run. Do you agree with that, or can you tell us a little bit about some of the new faces you guys have?
Well, I think you can make a case for that. I think it's really big that that the Ducks got Francois Beauchemin back in the last two games of the regular season. He was out with an ACL tear, which he was supposed to be out for 6 months, and we kind of looked at our calendars and said, okay, that means he's back in May. And then we thought, oh, will we be here in May? But then he came back a lot earlier than people thought, and so there was some doubt about, you know, whether he'd be ready to go coming back from a knee injury. And he looked fairly decent in those two games, and he's played some pretty big minutes. And then, of course, you've got Scott Niedermeyer and Chris Pronger there, who are obviously very good. I don't know if they are quite at the level they were in 07. But the fact that you've got guys like James Wisniewski in there now, you know, with those three guys I just mentioned, you know, it's a pretty solid group. I don't know if it's better than that 07 group just because the big guys from that group are a couple years older and they've got a little more miles on them. But you could definitely make a case that it's pretty close to that group.
One of the new faces that maybe anyone other than hardcore Sharks fans wouldn't be familiar with is Jonas Hiller, who seems to be the starting goaltender for the Ducks right now. So can you tell us, you know, how is he the man? How did he become the man this year with, you know, Jean-Sébastien Jaguar sitting on the bench? He was so successful in the Cup run a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's tough. Jonas has been very good this year. There have been a couple stretches where he's been a little bit flat, but for the most part, he's been really solid. And last year, when he came into the league, there was a little bit of an adjustment for him to get used to this level. You don't think of a goaltender having to get used to it as much as a skater, obviously. But so he was a little shaky last year. This year, he's been very solid, very consistent. And, you know, on the other side of the coin, unfortunately, JS has been not had his best season. He'd be the first to admit it. And he's been a little bit inconsistent and shaky in there. So luckily, the Ducks have gotten good stuff out of Hiller. And, you know, Randy Carlyle never really gives it away before the game, but, you know, all signs are pointing to Hiller being a net in game one, and we'll see what happens from there. Now, the good news is if Hiller is shaky, you got, you know, one of the best playoff goaltenders of the last, you know, 5 years, you know, ready to go. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, that was sort of my next question. How short do you think the leash might be on Hiller? You think he has a tough period and then that he'll get the hook right away and they'll give Jaguar a shot? Or will, I mean, in your opinion, and it will be just conjecture, Will Jaguar get a pity start in the first round or in the first couple games?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Randy Carlyle has been a little bit unpredictable on which goalie he's going to use. There have been games where we thought it'd automatically be Hiller, and he threw Jaguar in there, even against teams that, you know, Hiller might have had a pretty good history against, or even though it's a short history. I don't think the leash will be that short. Although I'll tell you that Randy Carlyle has a tendency to pull goalies more than a lot of other coaches around the league. But I don't think it's going to be one of those things where if Hiller gives up two in the first period that he's out of there. I think he'll have a relatively long leash, but at the same time, they know that even though he's had a tough season, they've got a guy, you know, sitting on the bench ready to go that would be pretty good if they wanted to kind of change the pace and the momentum of the game with a goalie change.
Adam, what is up with the Ducks' penalty kill?
I think the answer is in the question. I don't know. What is up with it? I think the numbers kind of don't necessarily, well, they do indicate, but I think they're out there so often this year that it's just a matter of time before they're going to, you know, give up goals. You know, that's been kind of a tough thing for the Ducks this year is they've gone to the box so often that those guys have been out there a lot in a penalty-killing role rather than, you know, maybe in a checking role or some guys in a scoring role. So that's been a struggle this year, and it doesn't need to be said anymore how much of a key that's going to be for the Ducks in this series is not making stupid penalties, not making the hooks and holds and the you know, retaliatory roughing calls. You know, that's going to be huge for them. If they don't stay out of the box, they're going to get buried like they did last year against Dallas.
With Paulson and Moan gone, who's going to pick up the slack for them on the kill?
Well, there's a number of guys. Ryan Getzlaf does a little bit of penalty killing at times. Obviously Niedermeyer and Pronger come up huge on the kill. Todd Marchand is just huge for the Ducks on the penalty kill. He's one of those guys that every good playoff team needs, a guy that just does absolutely everything, block shots, you know, will take a puck to the chest and keep going like he did a few games ago. He's very big on the penalty kill for the Ducks. So they've got some pretty good guys in there. It's tough losing guys. Paulson was, you know, a tough loss, obviously, in that respect. and so was Moen, of course, too, and you guys have obviously seen what he can do. But they still, you know, have some guys back there that hopefully can hold their own in the series.
Hey, Adam, I got to say, on your blog today, you poked the Sharks fans right in the soft spot, and you refer to Joe Thornton as the A-Rod of hockey. And I got to say that, you know, that's certainly the knock on Joe, but if you look at his numbers with the Sharks, it doesn't exactly bear it out. With the Sharks, he's averaging, you know,
.85
points per game. He's a +1. And while that certainly isn't the same as a regular season pace, if you look at somebody like Solani during the Cup run, he went from over a point per game to only 0.7 a game. So, I was just going to ask you, I mean, do you really think that's a fair characterization of Joe? I mean, he did play with the Bruins his early years, and they lost in the first round every time he was there, so.
Yeah, I actually meant to include something about how his numbers with the Sharks in the postseason the last 3 years have been a little bit better in the postseason than they certainly were in Boston, so. It was probably a little unfair.
It's an easy crack to make it, Joe.
It is an easy crack. You know, I mean, it's tough. You know, it's tough for him because he is the guy that's looked to. You know, and the fact that they haven't gotten past the second round, it's, you know, that almost, you know, overshadows his points per game output. But yeah, you know, I did take a little shot there. I've had a bad tendency to do that from time to time with other teams in the league. It's got me in trouble a couple of times, but
I think that's what good hockey bloggers do, right? Aren't you supposed to be poking the other side a little bit?
Yeah,
here
exactly.
Lord knows we poke the Ducks enough.
We like to blame Ron Wilson for all our failures.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've gotten into some trouble with some Edmonton people over the past year, and it came up again recently. Where they took some exception to some things I wrote, but you know, sometimes I have a hard time drawing the line between fan and representative of NHL team. So that's gotten me in trouble a couple of times. But you know, the Edmonton people, they take these things really seriously.
Adam, they're just mad because they're cold.
Yeah, I know.
And they can't see; it's super dark.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you tell us a little bit about
the reason why Chris Pronger got out of there, I guess.
That's right. Can you tell us a little bit about the softer side of George Parros?
Well, I'm not dating him or anything.
Well, I'm not
the softer
that,
side.
That he is on the record. On the record.
We're not insinuating a bromance here. Not at all.
Okay.
We see a lot of cool things with Jody Shelley, just as far as, you know, he's a bit of a, seems like a bit of a character, but you know, Parros is certainly villainized in our eyes. Tell us about Parros a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how many enforcers are like pretty good guys with really good character off the ice. I mean, you think of them as just bruisers who all they care about is knocking someone out. But you've got one in Shelley there, and Parros is truly one of the real good guys on the team. Obviously, very bright guy. He went to Princeton. Very funny. Just very easy to deal with. He does a ton of stuff with our organization in the community. He does this Locks of Love thing where he gets his hair cut and donates it, and it was a big event this year where a bunch of people came out and got their hair cut. So, you guys probably don't want to hear this, but it's really a room full of great guys on the Ducks. I'm sure you guys have your opinions on that, but and he's definitely one of the best.
In game one, it's highly likely that every time Perry, Solani, and Pronger touch the puck, they're going to get booed.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
as far as from an Anaheim fan perspective, are there any Sharks players that are as hated as those three guys are here?
I don't think so. I think that they're going to give it to Nabby a little bit just because, you know, he got involved with Perry a little bit there. And
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I think that'll probably happen. The Ducks fans tend to focus on goalies. You know, it's the same thing with Turco and Dallas, and I'm sure the better Nabby plays against us is the more he's going to want to get booed. But other than that, I know that they don't like Chicho only because he just scores a ton of goals against the Ducks. That's not a great reason not to like a guy. Now, you know, you guys certainly have your reasons for not liking Pronger and not liking Corey Perry, but I think there's a lot more booing towards our guys that there will be the other way around.
No doubt about that.
And I'm not going to go on record to say it's well-deserved either.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to. They're guys
exactly.
that you love to have on your team and you hate to have on the other team. It's certainly
right, right, exactly. Yeah, I hated Pronger before he came here, I'll tell you that.
And so do we. We still hate him. It's amazing.
Exactly.
Amazing how that works.
Yeah.
If the Ducks, you know, should happen to lose in the first round, and I'm sure, you know, that's going to happen from our perspective and not from yours, but if that should happen, do you think Randy Carlyle would be or should be looking over his shoulder in terms of his job?
No, I don't think so. And by the way, even if I did, I wouldn't tell you guys. But because I always have to remember what it says on my paycheck.
Yeah.
But I will say this: if there was ever a time when there was, you know, some doubt, and especially in a season where there's been just a ton of in-season coaching firings, and a few of them turned out pretty good, but losing in the first round, I highly, highly doubt it. Bob Murray, our GM, has been nothing but supportive publicly about Randy Carlyle. And when things were going rough for the Ducks this season, he came out and made sure to make it clear that wasn't even being considered. So, plus the fact that anytime you sign a coach to a 3-year extension and you're in the financial climate that you're in right now, the last thing you want to do is be paying two head coaches. So, that's yet another factor. But even without that, no, I don't think that he should be worrying about that phone call at all. But then again, you know, the Ducks aren't going to lose in the first round, so it's a moot point.
Hey, now, that's what we're talking about. That's good old-fashioned ribbon. That's what we're doing. Actually, we have a question about Ken Huskins because we haven't yet seen him in a uniform, obviously. He's been hurt. He's been nursing an injury. And can you tell us a little bit about what kind of role he fulfilled as a Duck? And I'm not sure exactly how closely you watch all the Sharks defensemen, but do you think there might be a Sharks top six defenseman right now that would be pulled in favor of Ken Huskins?
In favor of Ken Huskins? Gosh, I doubt it because you guys have such a good group there with Blake and Boyle, Vlasic. Erhoff, too. Yeah, you know, I mean, Huskins was a fine player. I'm supposed to say he was awful now that we traded him away, but no, he was a good player, incredibly good skater. Kind of really showed himself last year. This year, he was kind of up and down, got off to kind of a slow start, and I'm sure you know that didn't help him when it came, you know, trade deadline time. I got to be honest with you. I look at your guys' group in the top six, and I really have a hard time imagining him even totally healthy, breaking into that group. But, you know, then again, you know, I don't see the Sharks defenseman as much as you guys do, obviously. But I don't know. I think that would be tough for him. But you know, he is a pretty good player, and maybe there's a spot or two there that he could sneak into if he shows something once he gets fully healthy. But, you know, right now I'm not sure.
Adam, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. We got one last question for you. Can you spell Nokalainen?
I can, and I'm not even looking at a roster here. Let me give it a try. Nokelainen.
Winner.
Excellent.
He's a winner.
Oh, good.
And that's the
I'm
only
glad
thing.
This isn't a TV interview, so you can't see me looking at our game program right now.
That is the only thing you're going to win this week, too. I just want to make that absolutely clear. Adam, for a Ducks guy, you're all right.
I appreciate that, guys. That's a huge compliment.
Adam Brady, Director of Publication and New Media for the Anaheim Ducks, thank you so much for being on Dudes on Hockey.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, dude, another interview. We didn't completely scare him off. He didn't hang up on us this time. Not too bad, eh?
Yeah, I thought it went well. Adam Brady, thanks for coming on. And we would encourage you to check out his blog, which you can find at ducks.nhl.com. And it's the Anaheim Ducks blog, and he breaks down previews of the series in a little bit more detail from a Ducks perspective there. So, Adam, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, and Adam, hey, fix the RSS feed, man. It doesn't work for me, so maybe you can check that out too. Anyway, but let's get on to the picks that we were going to make in our series, because that was something Ian brought up in an email earlier in the show, something we talked about on the radio show. And, you know, this is something that people always like to talk about, you know, pick every round. We're going to pick every round, you know. Everybody has an opinion. We have ours, and I'm certainly interested in hearing our listeners respond to our picks. But I'll go first here in the West. Of course, we have to pick the Sharks. I'm almost contractually obligated to. I think it's going to be 6 or 7 games. I don't like the matchup against the Ducks. Long series don't bode well for future Stanley Cup aspirations. But I think this series could go 6 or 7, and I think the Sharks are going to be able to shake off the weariness and move on.
As I wrote on the blog, winning the first game is absolutely essential. I fully expect that we're going to do that. win game one. Wouldn't shock me if we split, the Ducks come back and take the second game. You know, I'm expecting it to go 2-2, and then we win games 5 and 6 and wipe them out. Sharks in 6, baby.
Okay. Now, 2-7 is Wings versus Columbus. I think this is going to be a quick series for the
Wings. The fact that you forgot who they were playing
doesn't
bode well for what your prediction is.
It doesn't. Wings are going to kill them. Wings have easy travel there. Columbus doesn't have a lot of offense. I mean, the Wings had to be doing a dance of joy when they heard they were getting Columbus. And it also, you know, could come back to bite the Sharks if the Wings get out of the first round quickly. And I think that's what's going to happen.
I agree. I think it's Wings in 5. I think Columbus will get maybe game 3 at home just because of the environment with the fans. But looking ahead a little bit, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, who Detroit gets in round 2, that could be the death kill for them a little bit.
Could be interesting. So Vancouver, St. Louis is the next series.
I'm taking the Blues, baby.
You're taking the Blues.
I am taking the Blues. I don't like Vancouver. And I didn't even pick them to make the playoffs. And obviously, they did. But I still don't like them. I don't think they're a team that has a lot of heart. I think they rely too much on their goalie. I don't think they're going to make much noise here. This will go 7. Mm. But the Blues have too much motor. And they're playing loose. They've got nothing to lose.
That's true.
At all.
They're playing with house money. That's for sure. I'm taking Vancouver in 6 because they got good D and good goaltending, and that's what it takes to win playoff games.
Well, you're wrong.
Chicago, I think, is going to roll over Calgary. It looks like most of the pundits in the NHL is reading James Myrtle today and Puck Daddy Greg Wyshynski. They both think this is going to be a really short series. I have to agree. Chicago's going to kill them.
I think so, too. And I think that's where, if my picks hold true,
mm-hmm.
then the Sharks could be really happy if it's Detroit-Chicago.
Yeah, that could be a great second.
Because
that
is where the Red Wings might say sayonara.
They could falter.
I don't know if they can take Chicago out. Now, if they get Vancouver again and we get Chicago, that's not good for us.
Yeah, not good for us. In the East, Boston's number one versus versus Montreal.
Again, not a good sign for how you feel about this matchup.
That time I misspoke. That time I didn't forget. But I got Boston winning quick. Montreal's in all kinds of trouble. They don't have much of a chance.
No.
Sorry, Ian. I don't agree with you there. I know you can't pick Boston, but they're just the much better team in pretty much every facet.
This is the best thing that could have happened to the Bruins, who I think we doubted maybe could make it all the way to the finals. But the stars are lining up a little bit nicely for them here.
Mm-hmm.
Sweep. The only sweep in the playoffs. 4 games out.
See, and this next one is my upset pick, and that's the New York Rangers. I think the New York Rangers can beat the Washington Capitals. Caps let in a ton of goals, and I'm a little worried about their goaltending situation. I think the Rangers could shock the world.
I still like Washington in this series to win, and I'm going to take them in 6. But I think every single game is going to be close
mm-hmm.
and super entertaining.
Yeah.
But I just don't think the Rangers in the end are going to be able to score enough. So I'm going Caps in 6, baby.
I'm going Devils over Carolina. I think Devils, although they've had a pretty putrid last month or so, they can rebound. They have some guys that have seen it before. They can buckle down and find a way to win this series. I think they're more skilled than Carolina, and they have better goaltending, even though Cam Ward's been playing well. Devils in 6.
I agree. I think this is going to kind of mirror image our series a little bit. Split in the first 2 sets of home games, and then the Devils will finish them off. Devils in 6.
All right, the 4-5, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, by far will be the most entertaining series to watch. I love watching both of these teams play. Of course, Sharks and Ducks is going to be the most entertaining, but close second is Pittsburgh, Philly. I have Pittsburgh winning in 7 long games, and I'm going to try and watch as much of each one as I can.
At least 2 overtime games here.
Yeah.
And not just single overtime, double overtime.
Sweet, sweet.
Okay. 7, I'm taking Pittsburgh also.
Okay, let's go to the shootout. First story of the shootout, Craig McTavish. Even though the president or GM was text messaging news outlets saying that his job was safe, his job wasn't safe. He's out. Good night, Craig McTavish.
That was almost like the worst thing that could have happened for him.
He could have used a helmet, but he never wears one. Yeah, didn't work.
He's going to find a job somewhere. He's not a bad coach. That situation there this year, you know, a lot of injuries. And I still, you know, the fact the Oilers faded down the stretch with the schedule that they had was unforgivable, and I think that sealed his fate.
I think you're right.
So do you have any inkling of who maybe is going to be the one who comes in there?
I have no idea. I'm sure they'll pick somebody weird.
Bob Hartley?
Could. Good.
How about Mariette Hartley? I hear Tony Granato might be looking for a job soon.
Yeah, it might be Tony Granato. But second story, Islanders get the overall number one pick. They finally get lucky. I think this might be one of the first times in recent memory when the team with the best chance to get the number one actually got the number one. So thank God for the Islanders. They let out a sigh of relief. They can get John Tavares.
Yeah. They had the split screen on TSN when they did the draft show.
Dun, dun,
and when they and they pick, the Islanders comes up, you look up, Tavares actually hung himself.
He's like, oh.
And then Hedman all of a sudden can't speak English anymore. Oh, man. If you're Tavares, are you fired up about that?
Well, you know, he can save the franchise.
He
could be a legend in that city.
I guess.
I don't know if he's going to, but I mean, he could be, you know, if he turns out to be great, I mean, he's Mike Bossy times 10. I mean, he could be the savior.
I think this almost worked out perfectly for the Lightning in one case is, you know, they're going to screw it up somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But second, you know, if they got the first pick and then they took Hedman, they'd be knocked on that forever.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're in kind of a win-win situation where, you know, the Islanders are likely going to take Tavares. They'll take Hedman. They really need the help on the blue line. They really need the help on the blue line.
Yeah.
So
that's for sure.
Be a good pick for them.
Okay. Last story. Maybe the best game of the last month, period. Best hockey game of the last month was Boston University versus Miami. The NCAA championship heartbreaker. Boston scores two goals in the last minute with the goalie pulled and then wins in overtime on a fluky, deflected shot of a guy's shin pad. I mean, Dan Boyle's got to be crushed for his alma mater, University of Miami, Ohio.
It was depressing.
Yeah.
Depressing, but that's the agony of defeat, the thrill of
victory and the agony of defeat.
That's how you say it, yeah.
I think Miami sort of snatched a defeat out of the jaws of victory on that deal. That's pretty rough.
Ouch.
All right, well, join us again later this week. We will probably have a show up on Sunday.
That's right. Special 2-week episode, actually three, because
of the radio show. So check out the radio show we did. It's earlier in the week. This show, thanks for listening. And maybe we'll see. Maybe you can listen to us again in a few days.
Yeah, we might have a special show on Sunday with another special guest.
All right. Go Sharks.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.